Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Welcome to If You Really Knew Me, a place for honest conversations about the Enneagram to inspire better connections with others, ourselves, and God. I'm Kim Willie, and I'm joined by my co-host and friend, Ben Sarles, who is a certified Enneagram coach, here to help us understand all things Enneagram. By learning what motivates us and how we see the world, we can connect with those we love and care about on a greater level. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope this is your journey to better relationships. We all have those friends that just seem to radiate joy, even in difficult circumstances, and we wonder how on earth they do it. I've even seen people that walk through things that seem overwhelming and they still have joy. And I believe that's because joy isn't fleeting. It doesn't exit the room when bad circumstances arrive. So if you're trying to figure out how to be more joyful, you are in the right place today, my friend. On our broadcast, we're going to learn together how we can be more joyful.
Yes, because each Enneagram type is a reflection of a facet of God, we can learn more about joy just by looking at a healthy type 7. Joy is a choice. It's not something that comes naturally. It has to be chosen.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm actually currently reading a book by Susan Bowers, and it's called The Joy Bringer Challenge.
I love Susan.
I know. She's wonderful. I love that she says in the book that Jesus is joy. So if you have Jesus in your heart, you have joy. You may not always feel happy, but you do always have joy. You just have to choose to walk in that.
Yes.
And I recently even read a statement that said there's a big difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a reaction to something great, and joy is the product of someone great. Mm. And you and I both know that someone is Jesus.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
We have to look to Jesus to show us joy, especially in the low and hurtful times in our lives. We can't just react. We must choose.
Yes, yes. Ben, can you share, is there a story in where joy has shown up in your life?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is when my kids were born.
Oh.
It was just such profound joy in me. I thought it would be, but even so, I was amazed at how much joy just kind of came through me. My daughter made me a dad for the first time. And I remember the anticipation and even feeling her kick and exhibit some of her little personality traits in the womb. But when she was born, I saw her. I was just overwhelmed. I saw the moment that my wife fell in love with her as well. She was a little worried that she would bond with her and in the way that my daughter needed. And I just sat back and watched. The moment she was placed in her arms, it happened. It happened again with my son. That little guy was special. I emphasize special. He'll like that.
Yeah.
He was special from the moment he arrived. And we would just stare at him, thinking about how amazing he was and how God carefully knit him together. Mm-hmm. Definitely moments of joy for me.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, they are.
How about you?
Little joy-filled people. So I'm actually part of a worship team at my church, and I enjoy music very much, and it's like a love language of mine. And I know it is for you as well.
Yes.
And there's so many times when I'm singing, specifically when I'm leading worship, and I can feel the Lord just take over. Mm. And when he does, I can't help but I start just smiling while I'm singing. And I've even had people at my church ask me afterwards, like, how do you smile sometimes when you're leading worship? Like, what's that all about? And I just tell them it's when I step out of the way and I let God lead me, and it automatically just shows up on my face. It's almost like a relief when I'm singing.
Yes.
I'm like, I feel him take over. I'm like,
he's
good.
He's got it. Now I don't have to have it.
Yeah. I'm not leading. He is. And on those particular Sundays, I leave the platform. I just feel, full and refreshed because he did it and I didn't do it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. When God wanted people to have a flavor of what his joy is like, he made a type 7. Just a glimpse of his joy. That means that part of the reason that type 7s are created like they are is because they're meant to model God's joy to others for his glory.
I personally think some 7s are some of the most fun people on the planet, and they seem to have endless energy and they're up for adventure. Can you tell us a bit more about type 7s?
Absolutely. I will do it in such a joyful way. They are joyful, enthusiastic, and social people that tend to be generally optimistic. They want the fullness of life and love variety. They definitely experience, and experience the word is the word that I think of when I think of type 7s. That's experience as a verb, by the way, not an experience that you go to.
Yeah.
It is, they want to actively experience life in every great moment.
That's awesome. Now, we know that the core desire of an Enneagram Type 7 is being satisfied and being content and having their needs fulfilled. And I was looking through some scripture, and the first one that came to mind when I thought about that was Philippians 4:19, and this is the Passion Translation. It says, I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have, for I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through Jesus Christ. Isn't that good?
That is very good.
So what can we learn from type 7s that are in a healthy place and aligned with the gospel?
So when type 7s are aligned with the gospel, they enjoy Christ's blessings that fill them up. Lasting satisfaction instead of relying on themselves to fill them up. This allows them to be their playful and fun selves, but they're grounded and focused at the same time. Christ's strength allows them to negotiate sadness and disappointment and hurt. They can savor the present moment, not just the fun in planning for the future.
Okay. Well, I know. So if anybody has ever looked at the picture of an Enneagram, it's a diagram. You can see lines going across. It's a circle, and you can see lines going across from one type to the other. What Enneagram types are connected to 7s, and what are the benefits for those connections?
So the Enneagram numbers, the types that have an intuitive connection to 7, 6s and 8s share a 7 wing. Even if it's not their dominant wing, they share a wing. 1s go to 7 in security, and 5s go to 7 in stress.
Okay, so what are the more specific things that each type can learn about joy from a type 7?
Type 1s can learn about God's joy through a healthy type 7 because 1s go to 7 in security. And even when we're in security, we can choose the healthy version of ourselves. And some people learn the Enneagram by saying that one goes to one number in stress and another in health. But I don't use that terminology because there are times I can be in security, aka things are going good for me, but some of my behavior might negatively affect others.
Okay.
And so that's not health. That is just I'm doing good, but I'm not aware if, you know, I'm just running through the house and planning for all these things and I'm not in the present moment with someone.
Okay.
Or, you know, things like that. I could be doing well and just focused on myself and I could lose focus on others just because I'm concerned about how good I'm doing.
In your own little world.
In my own little world. Yeah. So there are negative things that can come from your type even when you're in security.
Okay.
So ones can choose the healthy version because we become aware and they can use the joy of God that they see modeled in a healthy type 7 by being more self-accepting, optimistic, positive. They can feel the freedom to try new things, relax more, and be less rigid. Mm-hmm. And this is some things that type 1s can learn. They don't have to be so focused on this is how things have to go and this is the right way to do it. They can actually dream a little.
Okay, that's fun. Mm-hmm. The word dream is fun.
I like that word. We might use it again.
Okay. What about type 2s? What can they learn?
Type 2s can learn about God's joy through a healthy type 7. They can choose to feel joy instead of resentment. And sometimes 2s can give and they give of themselves, and then when others don't reciprocate, they can become resentful. When they give without the expectation of reciprocation, they can experience the joy of giving, but not become resentful when things don't come back to them in kind. The logic that sevens bring can speak truth to a type two's swirling thoughts.
Okay, so tell us about type threes.
Type threes can learn about God's joy through a healthy type seven by remembering to live in the moment. Type three and type seven are both future-oriented types, but a healthy type seven can show what it's like to feel the pull of the future, but to find fulfillment of the blessings of the moment. Type threes can speak truth to the fact that they see all that needs to be done, but they can exhale. Okay, they can maybe even relax a little.
Imagine that, relaxing.
Relax.
Oh my goodness. Well, on that note, we're going to relax for a second, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about the other numbers.
Do your kids love listening to great stories? It can be tough finding a kids podcast which upholds your Christian values. Story Jumpers features exciting, entertaining stories by authors who write from a Christian worldview. Each episode is created with kids in mind. Audiobook clips are followed by a brief author interview your kids will find fascinating. This is a podcast for kids. Subscribe to Story Jumpers wherever you listen to podcasts. Story Jumpers is a member of the Bridge Podcast Network.
Welcome back. We are discussing how we can learn joy from our type seven friends. And we ended up with threes, so we're going to kick into type fours. What can they learn from a healthy type seven?
So fours can look toward the future with anticipation and possibility. Because type fours feel that something is intrinsically missing from their life, type sevens can speak truth to that and gently guide them forward, finding joy in their situation, tapping into their feelings, but not getting stuck there.
Okay, that's good stuff.
Fives can learn about God's joy through a healthy type seven by learning a little more how to dream.
There's that word.
Fives are usually very practical, and they look for knowledge and wisdom to guide them. But sometimes if you dare to dream, something shows itself as a possibility that maybe fives hadn't thought of before, and a healthy seven will also give them access to the present moment, which brings a five out of their protected norm and allows a little time to dream, and things can be a possibility then.
That's good, because fives are more, they're past oriented, right?
They're past oriented, okay. Yeah. So they use the past to help them determine what they're going to do in the future. So if you don't try anything different, then it won't ever be in your past so that you can look back on it. And say, I need to do this in the future.
So you need to be present and do something cool so that it can be your past at some point, right? Oh, my goodness. Okay, how about type sixes?
Type sixes can learn about God's joy through a healthy type seven. Sixes have a seven wing, which allows them to be more engaging and supportive and look to team up with others for extra security. This allows sixes to be a little more extroverted and seek more enjoyment in life. They can actually seek out enjoyment in life, even with anxiety in the background. They can learn to be less reactive under the pressure of making quick decisions.
That's good. That's very, very good. And then obviously, sevens can learn from other sevens.
Sevens can learn from healthy type sevens, yes. And I want to talk a little bit about the passion and the lens and the fixation and the virtue. So it's something that's taught in Enneagram circles, and I want to just kind of break that down for a type seven. So the passion of a type seven is gluttony, and that is what sevens get stuck on.
Okay.
This gluttony for experiences, trying to fill the empty soul with experiences. They desire inner freedom and lightness of heart, joy, but they're trying to make themselves happy. So that is the passion. And when they're not conscious about their passion, they look through the lens of pleasure. How can I be gratified? How can I be distracted? Distracted from maybe some bad things that are happening or some pain. And if they don't, if they're not aware, they will see the world in light of gratification. I live my life anticipating the next thing.
Okay.
So they fixate. So the fixation is one of the things they talk about, is for a seven is planning. If you talk to a type seven, mm-hmm. they have got a plan for something in the future. It is, hey, I'm going to go. So I was talking to a seven that is not currently with us today, this moment, but she said that she's just going to take a little quick weekend somewhere and she's going to take in a show and then she's got something else fun. Is she going to try a new restaurant and blah, blah, blah. It's like all these plans.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're not careful, you can be stuck in planning mode.
Yeah.
And then you're not even enjoying what is the now, what is the, what is the present with others, be together with others in the present.
Yeah. Wow.
So the virtue is, it, this is what I refer to as the transformation that can happen through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's sobriety. And that's when they are still and gluttony is healed and it gets transformed into sobriety. When you're so in touch with the here and now that you're satisfied, you don't need anything else. And that is a possibility for sevens if they let Christ take over.
Yep. You're not obvious. You're not specifically, when you say sobriety, not talking about regarding like an addiction or something.
So this is interesting because gluttony is not talking about food and sobriety is not talking about drink.
Okay.
It's just the meaning of the word sobriety.
Yeah.
It means that all of those urges are stilled.
Okay.
God has given the healing so they can be in touch with the here and now and be satisfied.
Okay, that makes sense. But it probably also could help if someone was struggling with something. You know what I mean?
It can. It doesn't mean sevens are more prone to, you know, overeating or alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
This is just mainly talking about experiences.
Gotcha.
I mean, they may tie experiences with alcohol and food, but even if alcohol and food were not present in the moment, they would be searching and planning for something fun in the future.
So could it be an addiction to planning?
There you go. I don't know what that's called, but
I'm not sure. Now, how about type eights? What can they learn about joy?
Type eights can learn about God's joy through a healthy type seven. Eights have a seven wing, even if it's not their dominant one. And they can be a driving force, but one that can see what needs to be done, actively getting involved, plowing a path for others.
Mm-hmm.
That it helps them be a little bit more aware of others, what's happening. They become less impatient and less impulsive and have a little bit more compassion for others.
Okay, that's awesome. And lastly, what about nines?
Type nines, last but certainly not least, nines can learn about God's joy through a healthy type seven by taking action and even healthy risks to do the things they want to do, but either are asleep to or don't because they merge with others. Sevens can help nines look to the future and dream a little.
There you go. It's a fun word. We keep using this. It keeps popping up.
Yes. If you think of the word dream, it means the future.
Okay.
It means what could happen.
Yeah.
And so those assertive or aggressive types are oriented to the future.
Mm-hmm.
So dreaming is a little bit easier for them because they already look to the future.
Okay.
So history is a word that is associated with the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so past-oriented types can help the assertive types learn a little bit more about what has already happened and what we can learn from what has happened in the past.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Dream equals future.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever looked at it that way, but it's really cool.
Yes.
And I'm a planner. I would and I like things to move forward. So
yes.
I understand some of that too. Yeah.
It's interesting because threes are future oriented, but they are very in tune to the present and very in tune of the tasks that have to be done in the present.
Yeah.
So you would have to slow your tasks or maybe even stop in order to dream. And again, threes can't help but see what needs to be done.
Yeah.
So that might mean part of your task is getting away where you can't see everything that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And that allows you to slow down and dream.
Yeah. Because I have noticed struggling to dream sometimes because I'm so busy doing.
Yes.
So I get you on that.
Yes. Lastly, type sevens can help a type nine process their anger. Mm. So nines are said to be asleep to their anger. So it kind of comes out. They keep merging with others and keep merging with others and putting their wants and needs on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, that's not healthy to keep doing that. So then anger comes out. And sevens can help them process a little bit by speaking logic and then moving that past oriented number forward motion for a type nine. So the past oriented types don't always have an intuitive move that moves them forward. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like we need each other. I mean, who knew?
Everything you're saying is in my head. I'm like, we really do need each other, and we're stronger and we're connected. That's all there is to it. As we've been talking about how we can learn to be more joyful from our type seven friends, I feel now might be a really good time for us to chat about the difference between joy and happiness that was mentioned at the beginning of the episode. And wouldn't you agree that people get them confused sometimes?
Absolutely. It's so important to distinguish the two. You can have joy when happiness isn't present. So share with us your wisdom.
So just some nuggets of things that I've found. I looked up the definition of happiness, and it said good luck, good fortune, prosperity, an agreeable feeling or condition of the soul arising from good fortune or propitious happening of any kind. And to me, that says that happiness is based on feelings or conditions.
It does. That's what that says.
That's interesting. The description.
Interesting.
And so I went online and I found this Bible study. It says BibleStudyTools.com actually, and it shared this. It says the biblical meaning of joy, in contrast, it's not a fleeting feeling with worldly roots. The best personification of biblical joy is the story of Job. It says he was stripped of every good thing he had on earth, but he never lost his faith in God. He knew, Job knew his experience was unfair, but he didn't sugarcoat the pain that he was feeling. And in his conversation with God, he was very frank about how he felt, and he never forgot who God was. And Job 26:7 actually says, Job says this, he spreads out the northern skies over empty space. He suspends the earth over nothing.
You know, as you were saying that, I was just thinking like, okay, all these things happened to Job. He lost family members. And then even the people that were supposed to be his support group, his friends, were just like saying, cash it in, curse God and die. You know,
his wife even said
that. And it's just like, okay, even when people close to you or your situations are horrible, you can have joy. When you said he suspends the earth over nothing and the northern skies over empty space, you know, I get a lot of opportunity to look at sunsets. I drive home facing the west. And so it's right there in front of me. And I have about 40-45 minute drive, and it amazes me when, and it's going headed to a rural area, that over nothing, these skies are just amazing. The northern skies, that it reminds me of the stars. So at night, this beautiful over nothing. Why does he do that? Like, why is this beauty available in the nothingness? It's fascinating.
I love that. I mean, he walked through the darkest situation that anybody could walk through. And I would never want to wish that on my worst enemy. But he's complimenting God and saying how amazing he is, and that he spreads out the sky, and that he does this and does that. And I believe, you know, like we said, happiness can be fleeting, but joy stays with us because we have Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus is joy. Joy is Jesus.
He is the common denominator here.
Yes, he is. During our conversation today, I've just been thinking about the scripture that says the joy of the Lord is my strength, which I quote constantly when I'm in a funk. And that actually comes from the second half of Nehemiah 8:10. And for those of you that are familiar with the story of Nehemiah, he was basically in charge of rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem that was, you know, down and crumbled and gone. And after they got done all the work that they did, I believe it was 52 days, I believe, that they built the wall, Nehemiah wanted to speak to the group, and he encouraged them. He said he wanted them to celebrate and reminded them that this was a sacred day and that the joy of the Lord was their strength. And I looked at that and said, you know, God's joy literally made them strong. And how amazing is that?
Yeah. When we need strength, we need to focus on joy.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. It's like it's almost an underlying thing. Like, do I feel really joyful right this second? We don't walk around all day long. Woohoo! The flowers are blooming in the sky. We don't always stay in that state.
No.
But we can always tap into that. Like you said, it's a choice. We can tap into, Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength today.
Yes.
I don't have pockets for this other junk that I'm dealing with. Regardless of the situation, God is still on his throne, and the joy of the Lord is my strength.
And you know, that just reminds me, yesterday I was just in a funk. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I guess I got up on the wrong side and stayed on the wrong side. And I was being hypercritical of myself and critical of our situation. It's like, oh, God, these bills are, you know, blah, 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 medical bills and some different things. And, okay, I didn't get to do this. And, you know, I don't have this and I don't have that and I don't have blah, 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 blah. And that's when we can reach out to the Holy Spirit to say, okay, here's my swirling thoughts. And, of course, I'm a type two and I can be prone to swirling thoughts. I said, Lord, I need you.
Yeah.
I need you to come help bring me to the place of gratitude.
Yeah.
And I think gratitude may be a prerequisite to joy.
I believe it is.
You have to understand all the things that are going good and the things that the blessings that you have.
Yeah.
You know, none of us can say, I have no blessings in my life.
Exactly.
If you're really truthful and you look at, there is something somewhere that is a blessing that can give us gratitude.
Yeah.
And then that helps us tap into joy a little bit better.
Yeah. And I think it's what we keep our focus on. It reminds me, years ago, I had a Sunday school teacher. It was an adult Sunday school class. And she talked about, for a period of time, she would she'd go to bed every night, and she had this little list she kept by her bed. I might have shared this story before, but it bears repeating. She kept a list by her bed. And it was all these things that year that had gone wrong that she'd lost. You know, dog died, this, you name it. Mm-hmm. Everything happened. This person moved away, whatever. And every morning when she woke up, she looked at that same list again. And she realized she was going to bed sleeping with this in her mind.
Yeah.
Waking up, and that was the first thing she saw.
First thing.
And she's a strong believer in the Lord.
Yeah.
And she said, I realized I had to stop looking at the negatives and start looking at the positives. So she changed the list by her bed of all the things. When you said gratitude, it sparked that memory in me. And boy, did it change her entire outlook.
You know, I am not a journaler, and I would love to be, but I'm just, it's very limited, you know. But I have seen where my thoughts many times get carried away, and I have to focus on gratitude. And if you start a list of blessings in your life, you will be surprised when you look down, the physical writing of it, and then looking down at what you've written, it'll go on and on, like every little thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the relationship with this person is good right now. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
May not always be good, but right now it's good.
Take the wins, even if they're small.
I'm breathing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sitting in a hospital somewhere at the present moment.
Yes.
You know, so it's like all these things are so important that ultimately God shows us that we can have joy.
Yeah. I didn't even plan to go here today, but because you brought up gratitude, it made me think of, we both work at the radio station, The Bridge, and we had a gratitude promotion, if you will, that we did a while back, where we encouraged people every day to write on a slip of paper and put it in a gratitude jar. Mm-hmm. People created these cute little jars.
Yes.
We all had a team thing here where we made these pretty little jars, and mine is still on my desk. I haven't put anything in it in a little while, but I have lots of little papers in there. And I think if you just get discouraged, just pull out a paper, a slip, and go, this is why I'm grateful. And when you read scriptures or when you look at your gratitude list, joy bubbles up.
It does.
It does. You feel it and you're like, it almost like, it's like hope. It lifts something off of you. And you're like, I can do this, God. You've already blessed me here and there. And I like you said,
it centers you again. And yeah. when you can look at a visual, like
yeah.
you see the papers in that jar and the jar keeps getting fuller and fuller. And yeah. it's that just represents little answers to prayer in your life and blessings that you can be grateful for.
Yeah. And maybe your jar today is your type 7 friend.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to call them
there
and say,
you go.
Share something joyful with me.
That's right.
Not like
do
you
your
just,
job.
Yeah, do your job.
Get me joyful. What no,
God,
I'm kidding.
What God created you for. No, don't put that much pressure on them.
No,
but
no,
no, but you can learn so much from them. So
yes.
So look for that. I wanted to end today on a quote from John Piper that says, "The Spirit gives us eyes to see the beauties of Jesus that call joy up out of our hearts."
Mm.
See that call joy up? That
yep.
That's what we were just talking about.
Yep.
We can see beauties and it calls up the joy.
Yes.
The joy's there. It's already
yes.
there if you have Jesus, but you need to call it up and that's
yes.
the choice.
Yes. Jesus is, if you don't have Jesus, then it's going to be, you don't have access to joy.
Yeah.
True joy.
And if you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus, send
yeah.
an email to podcast@wearethebridge.org and we'll pray for you.
Yes,
and we'll
we
send
will.
You some information and
yes,
you
will
be filled with joy.
That's right. You will be.
Yes. We hope you have experienced a little joy in this podcast today. Be sure to check out the show notes where you're going to find some scriptures about joy and some song links about joy. And remember, only in God is there fullness of joy. And when your joy is rooted in Him, nothing can steal it.
Mm.
We look forward to being with you again soon. Until next time, God bless.